Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning, we're talking about making strides against breast cancer with Dr. Karen Gallagher. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
And Melody Harper of the American Cancer Society. Good morning, Melody.
Good morning.
We're happy to have you here this morning and happy to learn more about this great event, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, which is a 5K run walk coming up on October 6th at World's Fair Park. And let's start with that. That's a little different this year. Melody, what are some of the changes for this year's version of Making Strides Against Breast Cancer?
We have moved locations. We were at the Civic Coliseum for the past 2 years, and we are going to be at World's Fair Park. We're excited about that. It's a beautiful route that starts off on Clinch and goes through UT's campus and down to Neyland and back up through the Greenway and ends back at World's Fair Park.
I need to take notes. Did I mention to you that my wife has signed up for a team?
Oh, no.
Yes, the Jerry and Mary show is my wife's team.
I saw that.
Okay, my wife. Yeah. My wife is Jerry. So she signed up for that. So she and Mary have been out practicing walking around, West Knoxville. So she's going to want to know that route very specifically.
Well, it is located on our website.
Oh, good.
Which is makingstridesknoxville.org. So they can go and get the full map of that.
But I'll tell her to.
I walked it the other day, and we walked down Clinch to 16th, which turns into Volunteer. And then we went to, I think it's Lake Loudoun.
Yeah.
That goes down to Neyland.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And then, so you go by Thompson Bowling and then down by the river, and then you turn up through the Greenway and come back out at World's Fair Park.
Outstanding. So, we're talking about making strides against breast cancer. One thing that I was taken by, I guess this is the third time it's been here in Knoxville, but when you came to us, when the American Cancer Society came to us a couple of years back and pitched us on the idea of being involved and promoting it, one of the things that was a learning experience for me was that this event has been happening nationwide for years and years, but is new to Knoxville. Now, yes. Now it's 3 years old in Knoxville, but still, that's still a fledgling event.
Right. And we are in our 21st year of making strides against breast cancer.
Nationwide.
So, yes.
And the theme this year is finish the fight.
Yes. We are celebrating 100 years of the American Cancer Society. And so with that, we want to finish the fight in the next century. So that's why we're finishing the fight.
Well, that leads in perfectly to Dr. Karen Gallagher, who's here to talk about the physical aspects of breast cancer. And I noticed in one of the charts that has been making the rounds on Facebook lately that the survival rate for breast cancer keeps going up and up thanks to the advances that are being made. And let's talk about that for a bit. You know, I'm happy that my mother is a breast cancer survivor. She had it. It's been about 12 or 13 years now. But so much has happened in the course of the past 100 years, especially in that area. Dr. Gallagher, tell us about some of the advances.
Well, it's really fascinating when you look at the timeline of how long the American Cancer Society has been in existence. In 1913, breast cancer was something that nobody even spoke of. It was pretty much a death sentence to every person who had any kind of cancer. And so to think that now we've come to a point in time where the great majority of breast cancer patients learn to live with a chronic disease. Basically, it's like having high blood pressure or diabetes for so many patients. There are still some very bad breast cancers that are hard to manage, but we can do things that are less invasive and less harmful to living a full and rich life. And so
it's kind of like that cartoon that's making the rounds. It shows woman with breast cancer and she's got no hair and she's out there shopping and pulling the kids along. And then next to it is, man with a cold and he's all dead.
It's true. My patients are courageous and brave, and I like it when people call them warriors. I think that's a great terminology, and they are all about the fight. And it's tough to have breast cancer and to have the treatments involved, but they're so much better than they used to be. In the 50s, we used to think that people could survive their cancers by just having very radical surgery. Surgeons used to think that they could do it all. The more they operated, the better off it would be. And it started with the radical mastectomies and a lot of muscle and lymphatic tissue being removed. And when people didn't do well with that, they moved on and took out ovaries and adrenal glands and part of the brain, the pituitary gland, because we figured that hormones were involved with the cancer. And people still didn't do well. And it wasn't until we figured out that chemotherapy and hormone treatment really made such a huge difference. Patients really need to be treated throughout their whole system and not just in the area where cancer exists. That's when things really started to turn around and patient survivals really increased after that time.
Dr. Karen Gallagher, tell us a little bit about your background and how you became a specialist in this particular area of breast cancer.
It sort of found me.
Oh, really?
It did. I am a dedicated breast cancer specialist. I'm a general surgeon. I'm board certified. My career started, seems a long time ago now, following medical school. I did a 5-year training program in general surgery in Kansas City. And I had very tremendous mentors, but my career took a path towards liver transplant surgery. I moved to Baylor, Dallas, to do a transplant fellowship and learned a lot about immunology and how the body functions to both accept and reject cells. But I decided that liver transplantation was not the course for me, and I stayed on in academics at Baylor for about 10 years and helped them develop a trauma center there. During the course of that time, my private practice was in taking care of general surgery patients. And I was one of only two women general surgeons in the Fort Worth area. And my practice became heavily laden with women.
Sure.
With breast cancer.
Well, I know from my mom's perspective, I'm certainly a lot more comfortable to talk to a woman about breast cancer, about other, you know, female ailments. So it would make sense.
Exactly. And in 2002, we moved to Knoxville. And similarly, in my general surgery practice, a lot of my patients were women. Then data came out showing that women who were cared for by dedicated breast surgeons actually had a higher survival rate. So about 7 years ago, I opted to give up my general surgery practice and just focus on breast cancer and breast wellness. A great deal of my practice is on risk reduction as well. So I take care of patients who have family histories or other ailments that might preclude them to developing
breast
cancer.
That would
cancer.
Be a great thing to talk about. We are talking about the upcoming Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, Sunday, October 6th, 2 p.m. at World's Fair Park is where it starts. And then Melody Harper from ACS described the route that goes through the UT campus. It sounds like a fantastic event. And one of the things American Cancer Society does, of course, they're the leading researcher worldwide in the fight against all forms of cancer. But when you say the fight against cancer, we're talking about some amount, an element of prevention, right?
Absolutely. And the American Cancer Society has several generations of ongoing prevention studies. Obviously, things like pap smears for decreasing cervical cancer, cessation of smoking for lung cancer.
For years, that was what we thought of when we thought of American Cancer
Absolutely.
Society was the Great American Smoke Out and those things. That was my first introduction to the group. And I thought, oh, I'll promote that.
But they have like 46 Nobel laureates that they promoted in their research. I mean, it's phenomenal when you really look back at the history of the American Cancer Society and what they've done to forward both identification and treatment and prevention of cancers. It's profound.
Well, I would like to talk about some of the risk factors and some of the early warning signs for breast cancer, because that's something that everyone listening could benefit from. If you think, you know, and I'm thinking of other people in my family history, my wife's side of the family, who had breast cancer that may have been associated with a weight issue or with other habits that could possibly be changed and maybe reduce that risk.
There's so much that we can do to reduce risk. And when we talk about family histories, everybody worries if they have a family member with breast cancer. But in essence, only 10% of all breast cancers is familial. And of that 10%, only 2% are identified to have a gene associated with breast cancer. So like Angelina Jolie had the BRCA1 mutation. It's very uncommon.
Okay, now explain that to me. I mean, you really are talking about a gene in her.
So there are two genes right now.
That she would have had a blood test or what?
Yeah. So her mom had ovarian cancer. And if you have ovarian cancer or breast cancer, hereditarily, there are the BRCA1, it's BRCA1, and BRCA2 genes that we've identified that increase the risk of breast cancer lifetime to be about 80%, about 40% ovarian cancer risk. And it is identified through a blood test. Patients who have this have essentially a broken repair gene. So where normally if a gene gets a little bit worn out or run down, the repair gene comes in and is able to replenish it so it works appropriately. If you have a BRCA mutation, you have a broken repair gene. So those cells are much more likely to mutate into a cancerous situation. Mm-hmm. It can happen in other areas in the body too. Men with the mutation have a high risk of prostate cancer. There's gastrointestinal cancers associated with it, melanoma, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So it is not very common, and the patients who we look at to be likely candidates to have this are people that have every generation with a breast cancer.
Right.
Or they themselves have breast and ovarian cancer, or they have breast cancer in both breasts, or there's a male in their family with breast cancer.
Is that the extreme case then? We're talking about Angelina
Jolie? It is. You know, I think it's great. They call it the Angelina effect. I think it's fabulous that she increased awareness that people can have a hereditary issue that would cause them to be a likely candidate for breast cancer, and that there are things that you can do preventatively. But it really impacts a very few patients.
Okay. Well, then a bigger impact then when we're talking about the possible prevention of breast cancer could be some lifestyle changes.
It is.
And I'm thinking specifically, I mean, Aunt Dee passed from another number of ailments, but she did have breast cancer, and there were some lifestyle things that she did when now, looking back 10 years after she's passed, I'm thinking, oh,
yes, and
that
sadly,
could have been a thing.
10 years from now, we'll know a lot more than we do now. But yeah. We know that the majority of breast cancers are hormonally driven. And so now we know that combination hormone replacement therapy like Premarin, it's estrogen and progesterone, in combination does increase the risk. And so for patients, we say the smallest dose for the shortest amount of time, if you can avoid it, please do. It doesn't have enough positive influence on other aspects of health that it should be used just for that. If people have bad symptoms, it can be used. But if you have a family history or you're a high-risk patient, it's probably better to find other options to treat symptoms of menopause. Smoking, we think of smoking and lung cancer, but patients who smoke it are at high risk for breast cancer. Alcohol is another thing that is not widely publicized, but alcohol interferes with the metabolism of estrogen. And so patients who drink have higher estrogen levels. And again, there's that hormonal component of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's some influence on the ability of the liver to assist with DNA repair and those kind of things. So more than five drinks on a weekly basis does significantly influence a risk.
Mm.
Other things like sleep. We know that night nurses have a higher risk of breast cancer. And so there is some influence over time of lack of sleep. You talked about obesity.
That could be an issue.
Yeah, because fat cells make estrogen.
Ah.
So especially postmenopausally, when the estrogen level drops off, that extra estrogen in the body can be influential. It's probably a lot more complex than that. But things that you can do to reduce risk, dietary issues are very important. We look at populations that have a low risk of breast cancer, like Asian women. But if they move to the United States and eat a Western diet, the risk comes up to be the same as ours.
That's kind of where I was thinking with regards to my family history, was that Western diet.
Oh, Western diet is probably the root of a lot of evil, sadly.
Yeah.
And it's probably very complicated. But in Asia, they eat soy from the time they're very young. And soy has a lot of really great components in it, including what's called a phytoestrogen, which is a plant estrogen. But it's so weak that it actually blocks the cells from seeing a lot of the body's own estrogen production. It's got a lot of anti-inflammatory and antioxidant components, too.
Mm.
And recent studies...
Excuse me, I'm going to go get some edamame.
Yeah, right? Or some chocolate soy milk.
Oh,
yay.
Yeah.
But there are things that you can incorporate into your diet that may actually influence your risk. So mm-hmm. soy is one of those things. Green tea is another thing.
But it's gross.
It is, but you can make it good. You have to find the good kind and maybe put some pomegranate juice or something in it.
I love pomegranates.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite fruits.
You know, pomegranate juice is supposed to help decrease the prostate cancer risk, too.
Well, good. Then
so
I'm going to go have more of that.
You don't even have to worry about it
but
anymore.
But I only seem to get it in the fall because the pomegranate, because I eat
right.
actual real pomegranates,
right.
you know.
That's true. So probably a good thing to think about is getting back to eating fresh produce and farm to table and trying to avoid processed foods. There's a lot of things in processed foods that are detrimental to many health issues.
We're talking about breast cancer specifically in the American Cancer Society because Making Strides Against Breast Cancer is coming up on Sunday, October 6th, 2 p.m. World's Fair Park. It's going to be a huge day with a lot of fun and activities, a new course, a new route that is being walked for the 5K. Is it a run walk or just a walk walk?
It's a run. You can run if you choose to, but most people do walk. Mm-hmm. It's non-competitive, so it's not a timed route. We're there more to raise awareness and have fun while we're doing it.
That voice is Melody Harper from the American Cancer Society. So let's talk a little bit about the event, because you've added a few bells and whistles that I'm excited about. I'll be there as your charming MC,
yes.
Or semi-charming MC that day. I know that Farmer Charlie, a good pal of ours, has been his. First of all, he made this awesome commercial where he goes in and gets a haircut shorter, 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 until finally he's got a shaved head in support of breast cancer patients. And then he puts on the pink Farmer Charlie hat from Farm Bureau Insurance of Tennessee. So he's going to be down there selling the hats or signing the hats. What is he doing?
Yes, he's going to be with us as a special guest. And we're excited about that because this is the second year in a row with our partnership with Farm Bureau Insurance of Tennessee statewide. They support us in all six events that will be going on across the state. So, but we're one of the lucky events that gets Farmer Charlie to actually.
Well, he lives here.
Well, yeah.
I'm Facebook friends with him. I mean, you know, he's a real guy.
He is a real guy. So he will be there. And obviously, Frank, you're going to kick off our event with the opening ceremony and being our MC. So we're excited about that as well. One of the things that we're going to do along the route this year is we're going to try to work with our Twitter feed, too, and do a scavenger hunt for the participants to go around and take pictures of different landmarks across the city or them having fun along the route.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be a fun way to implement that with the walk. And then once everybody comes back to the World's Fair Park site, it's going to be a birthday type atmosphere because the American Cancer Society is the official sponsor of birthdays. And since we are celebrating our 100th birthday this year, we wanted to have that festive atmosphere when people come back. So there will be an opportunity to have a little cupcake and enjoy some Ooh. Fun and some bounce houses. And
I got your email on that. You said that Scrumps Cupcakes is going to be there.
Oh, wait.
The email actually came from Amy Rosenberg.
Then, yes, they might be there, and I haven't seen that email.
She mentioned that you've got Music in Motion, which is a DJ service, going to be having some music for the event. Bruce McCamish Photography, doing photography services. Also, donations of food from Target, Costco, Food City, Sam's Club, Pizza Hut, Krispy Kreme, McKee Foods, Publix, Ingles, Scrump Delicious Cupcakes, okay. Which is Scrumps, and Fresh Market.
Okay, well, then they will. That must be a new feature.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's exciting.
Well, I mean, it's a good time. Like we mentioned, you know, it's a birthday. How can you not have cake at a birthday?
Exactly.
So. And I bet you they'll make up some special pink icing or something.
I'm sure they will.
Because Nathan and Kathleen over there will take good care of you. I promise you that. So it's going to be a very good time coming up on Sunday, October 6th. I'm looking forward to it for all of those reasons. But also, they're usually at many of these ACS events, you also take a serious moment to acknowledge those who've lost the fight.
Absolutely. We do want to recognize those who have fought the battle hard and have not been able to survive their particular battle. And one way that we're doing this year is we've lost a very passionate volunteer of ours, Ashley Slagle Roback.
And so she was actually here a year ago doing the interview that we're doing now for the East Tennessee Report.
Yes. And she was very influential in the very first Making Strides walk that we had. And she was also a Reach to Recovery volunteer of ours. So we miss her tremendously. She passed away earlier this year. And so we are doing an award in her in honor of her memory.
Good.
So that will be also at the opening ceremony of the walk.
Okay. Lovely. Well, it's an event that you can still sign up for. There's still plenty of time. Of course, as you mentioned, the official website is
makingstridesknoxville.org.
And you can find that. It's easily Googleable, and as is all the American Cancer Society stuff. You mentioned the Twitter feed. I've gotten a few nice tweets from you guys.
Yes.
Every time I mention it on the air. Oh, hey, we heard that. You forgot to mention Calhoun's. Yes. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to forget them. They're a great partner.
Calhoun's, that's the tweet. Calhoun's is sponsoring this. Of course, they are selling some pink stickers with a little pig on it, that, you know, the kind of the typical Calhoun sticker.
Yeah.
And also for Chesapeake's and Copper Cellar and their whole family. But because they're pink, that money is going to the American Cancer Society. And they've got these gray T-shirts with the pink ribbon on them that are the Stick It to Breast Cancer T-shirts that they're selling now at the restaurants to for anyone to buy in advance and wear at the event.
Starting October 1st, they'll be selling those items in their restaurants across the area. So they are a strong partner with us since the inception of Making Strides in Knoxville as well. And our third flagship sponsor is Tenova Healthcare, too. So they are also a strong partner with us.
Absolutely. And one thing that kind of I'm now reminded is we connect the dots between what Melody Harper from the American Cancer Society is telling us and what Dr. Karen Gallagher, the breast cancer surgeon, was talking about earlier, was how 100 years ago someone would die of shame, i.e. breast cancer, because there was no awareness. You couldn't publicly go to someone and say, I'm sick, I've got a problem. There weren't the buddy checks and the self-exams and all of the other things that are now so commonplace in our culture. And in fact, that almost some of that is done with humor. And I'm thinking, what would somebody from 1913 think of a Save the Tatas T-shirt?
You know, oh my goodness!
Because when you go to Making Strides, you're going to see some team names and some T-shirt names that are downright funny.
Yeah, you should go look at our website and take a look at the team names, because they are hysterical when you see them come across. So, and you're right, because I've even talked to breast cancer survivors that they might be a 20-year breast cancer survivor, and 20 years ago, they would not talk about it. In fact, they went through, I spoke with a teacher one time that she kept on teaching. She got a wig. She didn't tell anybody that she was going through breast cancer treatments at the time, because it was just something you did not talk about. And now it's so different than what it was.
Well, yeah, now, I mean, you can think about, we've done interviews about people who provide the wigs, who provide the prosthetics, who provide the reconstructive surgery for post-breast cancer. I mean, all that stuff is now part of our lexicon, part of our awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's something that the American Cancer Society obviously has been a leader in building that awareness. So for you, Dr. Gallagher, when you have a patient who comes in with that first awful diagnosis, what are your words of encouragement and wisdom to her, you know, when she walks into your office tomorrow and has just been diagnosed?
Well, usually once you're able to sit down with somebody and go over exactly what their diagnosis means and what might be in store for them, people tend to feel a whole lot better. The fear of the unknown is what is so frightening. And everybody still has that picture in their mind of what a radical mastectomy looks like and how sick people get from chemotherapy. And granted, there are chemotherapies for different kinds of cancers that are still very difficult to tolerate. But for the most part, my patients do really well. And a lot of people continue to work through their chemotherapy. There may be a day or two out of their cycle that they don't feel well. The surgeries tend to be a whole lot easier to tolerate than they were before. And the whole treatment modality and the support that people get make it a treatment plan that, you know, you wouldn't wish upon anybody, but is,
when you say treatment modality, I mean, you mean the mode of the method of treatment?
Yeah, the methods that we treat patients. We get to be less and less invasive with surgery, providing more options. The cancer treatments are more honed in and specific, as opposed to a lot of treatments that just only focus any cell that's turning over rapidly, which includes all of your normal cells that might make you sick. We now have more targeted treatments that only kill cancer cells. Mm. And there's just different varying ways that we can treat the side effects so that it's a much more tolerable event than it used to be.
Yeah.
That includes everything from diagnostics to surgery to chemotherapy to hormone blocking agents to radiation, all the, and reconstruction, all those things have come so far that the whole mindset is different. I tell a lot of people, though, I say that the roads out there are much more dangerous than you sitting in this office.
Yeah.
So please wear your seatbelt because, you know, you might get hit by a bread truck.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, it's a very
milk truck
doable.
Would be funnier for the joke.
Yes, it would be. Thank you. I'll
you
keep that in
that,
mind.
Just...
I will, and I will give you credit for that.
Thank you,
Frank.
Very much.
Yeah.
All right, Melody Harper from the American Cancer Society. One thing that we talk about when we promote the ACS is that there really is no middleman. When you know, instead of raising money for somebody who's going to then give the money to ACS, why not just sent directly? When you make this money from making Strides Knoxville or from all the other various events, tell us, you know, what actually happens to that cash that my wife's team, the Jerry and Mary Show, are going to raise?
Well, we put a lot of our money back into the research. And as Dr. Gallagher was talking about, where those research advancements have come to over the past 100 years. And currently, the ACS is funding 251 breast cancer research grants, totaling more than $129 million. So that can show you right there a little bit of where that money is.
So these are doctors and scientists all over the world, and specifically this country, but all over the world, who then apply to ACS and say, look, I'm going to do a study to see if I can identify. Like you mentioned just a moment ago, instead of doing chemotherapy to kill all the cells, why not just kill the cancer cells? Somebody had to do the research project to figure out the medicine that kills just cancer cells. And that's the kind of research that is funded by the American Cancer Society.
Absolutely. And, you know, our society has spent more on breast cancer research than any other type of cancer. And many of the society's basic cancer research projects also have a potential benefit for breast cancer. Because so even if you're researching a different type of cancer or something else, it could benefit breast cancer as
well. You're also very supportive of the people who have been diagnosed. I mean, if you've got cancer, call the American Cancer Society. They're over there on Weisgarber Road, just off the interstate. Go
right.
Talk to them because there's support services right here in our community that
Absolutely.
You could receive.
And one of my favorite parts about the American Cancer Society is we have an 800 number that is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there is a live person that will be on the other end of that phone. So if a person going through cancer wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they have a question about their particular type of cancer, they can call that 800 number and there will be somebody there that can answer that for them. And also through that, you can be directed to programs and resources that we have available in your local community. And two of the programs that we have that specifically benefit breast cancer patients is one, our Reach to Recovery program, which provides a breast cancer survivor that is at least 1 year out of treatment who has gone through this herself. She is matched up with a newly diagnosed breast cancer patient, and it's a mentoring program that they kind of walk through.
Wow.
So that's one program. And then we have another program called Look Good, Feel Better. And this program is designed because as you're going through chemotherapy and radiation, there's changes that are going on.
Sure. You mentioned the hair loss. And of course, we talked about wigs and prosthetics earlier in the show. But what are you talking about here?
Absolutely. So you get a package of makeup when you go to one of these programs. And there's all kinds of makeup in that. And then there's a trained licensed cosmetologist that works through with you on some of those changes that are going on. And helping you feel better about yourself so you have the confidence to face the disease that you're working through.
So you can be that lady in the cartoon with the shaved head or the bald head, pulling the kid behind, just still tackling the day, the breast cancer survivor, as opposed to the guy with the cold sniffling in bed, right?
And then if you do experience hair loss through your treatment, we do have a wig bank at our office on Weisgarber where you can come and receive one free wig. And we have people that will help fit that wig to you and see what kind of options are available for you.
Fantastic. Well, I'm proud to be a supporter of the American Cancer Society. Proud to be with you coming up on Sunday, October 6th for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. We urge everybody to show up. First of all, register now. Get your team all put together and raise some money.
Yes.
Because think about it. You know, if you raise $100 and everyone on your team get 10 people on your team, that's $1,000 right there. It can be done.
It's
it can
very
be done
easy.
In small increments. Sunday, October 6th, 2 p.m. So after church is when we get started. The actual walk doesn't start till 3.
Correct.
But we'll have the pre-ceremonies. And then afterward, like we mentioned, a birthday party. It's all going to be a lot of fun at World's Fair Park and then through the UT campus on Sunday, October 6th. Dr. Karen Gallagher, we appreciate your being here and your expertise. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
And Melody Harper from the American Cancer Society. Thank you, too.
Thank you.
This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.